Giants lose a tough one to the LA Rams, falling to 1-7 for the first time since 1980. A game that was once 7-7 gets away with a 51-17 final score. How did this one get away from the Giants?
A lot of things happened there. You know, I'm the biggest Eli supporter, but he missed two wide open long passes. If he does that, the game is 24-27 at the half, but that turns around quickly. We had a fumble in the game from Eli and from the running back. Got a blocked punt. So that's happening. Miscommunication in the secondary. And a lot of injuries, especially on defense, linebackers. I think you're on your fourth or fifth defensive end. Those things kind of lead to this kind of a game.
You mentioned miscommunication in the secondary, too. This team obviously felt the suspension of Jackrabbit Janoris Jenkins. Giants giving up 5 pass plays of 30-plus yards, 2 run plays of over 20 yards, giving up a lot of big plays there for this Rams team. But a bright spot for the Giants. You know, early in the game, they got the run game going. They were seeing a lot of what they liked from that run game. What were the positives that you saw there?
Besides the run game, I think the combination of the offensive line they have right now, they're able to move guys around. Again, you're going to have to make every play. They had one, I think, maybe Fluker had a false start, set him back, and all of a sudden that was a sack fumble. If he doesn't have that, they may drive the ball down and score right away. Number two, the thing you see is Ingram. Ingram is, like, he's dynamic. He's making plays, high-pointing the ball. He's doing a lot of good things.
Ingram has been a really bright spot for this team, dealing with a lot of injuries at wide receiver. He's been a very versatile tight end, kind of playing like a Pro Bowl tight end or aspiring to be.
Well, you know, I spoke to him earlier this week. He talked a lot about, you know, being put in a position and the game not being too big for him now. I think also he talked about, like, he's starting his second season in college, basically. You know, with the preseason up to this game, now he's into his second season, and it's pretty quick.
We've seen a lot of poise and maturity from Evan Ingram, the young tight end, but also Sterling Shepard, the wide receiver, making his return to the field this week. He had a touchdown there late in the game. What did you see from Shepard?
I thought he did a pretty good job catching the ball and missed a couple deep balls. I think on both sides of the field, you notice the ball slipping through guys' hands. The gloves are great. I love the gloves when it's dry. But when it's wet and rainy and misty like this, you can tell you have to take a lot of extra focus to see the ball when it's coming to you. If the ball's away from your body, that ball, especially if the quarterback's under pressure and he's drilling it, it's going to slip through your hands.
Yeah, wet, misty game indeed. You were on the sideline for that one. We've got more analysis and reaction as Giants Postgame Live presented by Mercedes-Benz starts right now.
And we welcome you to MetLife Stadium and Giants Postgame Live presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Giants. Hello again, everyone. I'm Bob Papa. The weather matching the Giants' performance today as the Rams knock off the Giants 51-17. Lots to dissect with this one and really a breakdown across the board. We're going to break it all down for you. We'll hear from Eli Manning, Ben McAdoo a little bit later on the show, and I'm joined by Super Bowl champions all around me, Sean O'Hara, Antrell Roll, and Amani Toomer. And Sean, I'll start with you. I mean, this team's margin of error is just so slim, and you get a Gallman fumble, an Eli fumble, Manning missing open guys downfield, the defense not pursuing on a 3rd and 33, and you get scores like this.
Yeah, the big plays haunted him. And you mentioned the weather. I mean, it's sloppy. The weather is sloppy. The play was sloppy. You couldn't afford turnovers against the second-best scoring offense in the NFL. And the big plays, you'd had to know coming into this game that the Rams, nobody has more big plays than them. They're explosive offense. And I thought that 3rd and 33, to give that up, and then to give up the deep ball to Sammy Watkins. I know Janoris Jenkins was not playing, not suspended, but there's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for Landon Collins to let a guy just run right by him. I thought there was no pressure on Jonathan Goff or Jared Goff as well. And when you look at this team, to your point, Bob, not a very confident team on either side of the ball. You've got to try to find a way to keep these games close and give each other confidence to start out early in these games so you give something to play for in the second half.
Antrell, I mean, we have seen it. And we talked about it the last time we were together doing this show. teams are getting Landon Collins in one-on-ones and getting him to have to cover, and they're exploiting it week in and week out. We saw it with Sammy Watkins today.
Well, that's exactly what they're doing. And playing here, coach has always said, don't ever disguise yourself out of coverage. And that's what he was doing. He was trying to disguise the coverage, and he got caught. But he got caught against a bad Sammy Watkins, and we saw that. It went for seven. It was just a sloppy game all the way around. Any phase of the defense you want to talk about, whether it's poor tackling, the thing that I saw which really bothered me was the effort. You can have mislaps, you can have mental mistakes, but the one thing each player can control is their effort.
Yeah, and it looked like Eli Apple on that Robert Woods 52-yard run ran away.
Business decision,
from
Bob.
Woods. Amani, you have caught a lot of big passes for this Giants team, and a lot of them have come from Eli Manning. How surprised were you? He was part of the problem today because this game was tight. He's got Sterling Shepard wide open for a 75-yard touchdown. Then you couple that with missing Tavares King late in the half. It could have easily been 27-24 at the half. How surprised are you that Eli's been this off?
He has been off. He's been but one of the things about it is, he feels rushed. He does not feel comfortable in the pocket. I don't think he's been comfortable in the pocket this entire season. So he was off today. You can blame him, especially for the turnover early on when they had some momentum on their first drive. Got to keep both hands on the ball. You cannot let that happen when Aaron Donald strip-sacked him with the fumble. But, you know, that's what's wrong with this team right now. One person plays well, then another person drops and doesn't play well. In this entirety, what the whole thing really showed me today was I started to see frustration. And once you start to see frustration, that's when you know there's a real problem where they're thinking that that it's not just what's going on, you know, with their execution. There's something else out there. There's a boogeyman out there making them play poorly.
You know, and we talked about Eli and that first sack and fumble. Remember, they were in advantageous down and distance. It was 3rd and 4.
Yeah.
And DJ Fluker had Aaron Donald lined up right on top of him, and he panicked. He gets called for a false start, which changes the entire way you're going to attack it. Now he's got to take a deeper drop, and then sure enough, you get the blow by and the sack.
It's not smart football, and really on both sides of the ball. But when you look at this, you know, like everybody was going to want to talk about who's to blame. There's a lot of people that are probably going to take heat for this. But, Bob, I'm always going to look at the players first. You're coming off of a bye. There's no excuse for not being energetic, for not being emotional, and getting your teammates something to be excited about. And you didn't see the life from the team. You know, there were opportunities early on. I mean, the opening possession, Orleans Darkwell all of a sudden breaks some tackles, is running downhill. You've got a chance to really energize your team and the crowd, and they missed out on that.
It certainly did. Wasted opportunity. Sterling Shepard returned back from his injury, and after the game, he spoke with Paul Dottino.
Sterling, I can't even imagine what you guys are feeling right now after going through this one. It's got to be very difficult.
Yeah, pretty difficult. I mean, I thought we had a solid game plan. It was just coming out to execution, and we didn't come out and execute today. So,
what was different for you, if anything, about being the number one receiver? We talked about it during the week, how your role was going to change.
Nothing was different. I mean, I got a few looks, and I got what I could, but it wasn't enough. So,
where did you think this game got away and started to snowball?
We can't turn the ball over. I think that's the number one thing. We had two turnovers early on in the game, and they capitalized on them, so can't do that.
After the bye week, coach said flush everything. How do you flush this one after coming back with such a difficult game?
Easy, flush it.
That's it?
It's as simple as that. Yeah, fix what you can fix and then move on to the next one. We got a big one coming up. So,
Sterling Shepard, thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
Take a look at the numbers. 5 for 70. Had a 37-yarder and really should have had a 75-yard touchdown catch in there. I mean, double move. There's no safety in the middle of the field, and Eli just overthrew him. He just missed him. He's got to hit him on that play to give yourselves an opportunity. And, back to the drawing board. Antro, what about this defense? I mean, I know they're down bodies. You know, Vernon's not there. Casillas isn't there. Goodson's not there. But the tight end situation is ridiculous. I mean, this is an NFL record now. 9 straight games where a tight end has caught a touchdown pass against this defense, and it's 9 touchdown catches in 8 games by opposing tight ends, and then they gave up another big play down the sideline. Why are the tight ends exploiting this defense so easily?
Well, it's a clear-cut case in point of you don't have anyone to cover them. I'm just going to call it straight as it is. You don't have anyone to cover the tight ends. it should be a win for the safeties to cover tight end because you're an athletic body. You disrupt them at the line of scrimmage. Once you disrupt them, the quarterback is going to take their eye off the tight end. They're not elusive guys. So you're just not finding the guys to cover the tight ends. It's a clear case in point.
Well, Bob, I'll piggyback on that. The linebackers, certainly, they're not going to hold up in man coverage. But when you're struggling to stop the run, now everybody's jumping towards the line of scrimmage. That creates even more space. The last thing that I'll say as an offensive lineman, if you're protecting your quarterback and he has time to step up in the pocket and he can throw, where are those balls getting completed? In the middle of the field. Well, guess what? There is no interior rush. There's no A and B gap rush from the Giants D-line right now, which if you have that, quarterback is not going to be able to complete that ball to the tight end in the middle of the field.
I remember one play, I saw 47 Calvin Munson. It was a simple play action pass. He totally sucked up. Then that allowed the tight end to come underneath right where Munson should have been. And those are the types of plays where, you know, because the offense is running the ball so successfully, right, it opens up those play action passes. And who's more able to get those play action passes? The tight end, because they're close to the ball.
And to that point, we got to give credit to the Rams and to Sean McVay.
Yeah,
and the way that they schemed it, the Sammy Watkins touchdown is cover three. And DRC has to come up on the shallow route. So they got him behind Landon Collins. And then why wouldn't you attack the Giants linebackers? They're already down two starters. Mm-hmm. And then they lost Keenan Robinson during the game. So, I mean, it's a no-brainer to go after that group.
You know, I told the story because I have a bunch of friends that are on the Rams staff, front office, and coaches.
Define
and
a bunch.
At least five.
Okay.
And, you know, McVay brings this confidence and very creative right in his play calling. And a story was said before the game that he didn't just expect to come into the game and beat a team that they should beat. He was thinking of hanging 50 or 60 up.
Statement.
It's the same thing that Sean Payton's attitude was in the 1990
exactly
NFC Championship game, wasn't it?
Exactly.
But a coach brings that and walks in and says, hey, we're not going to just win. We're going to dominate. You experienced that 41-0.
I remember because I got hurt against the Eagles before that, and we were playing the Vikings for the championship. So I'm sitting on the training table, and coach comes up and says, hey, look, man, are you going to be ready to play? I said, why? Yeah, I think I should be. He's like, because we're going to hang 50 on them, so you better be ready to play. So I jumped off the table. I started hopping on my ankle. I'm saying, I'm fine, coach. I can play. That's the kind of confidence you need to have as a coach to get your guys, you know, just motivated.
And that's why he's the GOAT.
Sean McVay brought that confidence to the Rams. Well, we're going to hear from Giants head coach Ben McAdoo when we return. The Rams beat the Giants convincingly 51-17, the final score. You're watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Giants. We welcome you back to Giants Post Game Live here on the MSG Networks, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Giants. Rams beat the Giants 51-17. Here's Giants head coach Ben McAdoo.
Well, when you play a talented football team and you handle the ball the way we handled the ball, you tackle the way you tackled today. We punted, had a block punt, and we struggled to cover a punt. Unfortunately, that's what the scoreboard is going to look like. Let's open it up.
Ben, did this team quit today?
No, the team didn't quit today.
What did you think of the effort?
They were playing hard.
Then why didn't it correlate to more success?
I just gave you that answer.
What do you see going on in the secondary? It seemed like Landon's not taking right drops. They're not sure whether you're a man or zone. Plus, you had that third down, 33, 52-yard touchdown.
Yeah, we'll have to go take a look at the film on the play you're talking about. And the other one is just we got to get to the ball and we got to get them on the ground.
What do you say to the idea that there's just dysfunction in that room and that guys just aren't on the same page, don't know their assignments, don't know what's going on?
No, that's not the case. You had a double move with a good player down the field. Give him credit. He made a heck of a play, heck of a throw, heck of a catch.
Ben, how shocked are you by, you know, the team was rested coming up with a home performance like this?
I'm disappointed. Expected us to come out and play a better football game than we played. We have it in us. It's my job to get it out of us.
Coach, when the score got that out of hand, why keep Eli Manning in the game that long? Why wait till the final drive to put Geno Smith in the game?
Well, I planned on taking him out with over 9 minutes left in the game, but we didn't get the ball back.
And it seems like you've tried just about everything to get this team back on the right track. I mean, what else is there?
Keep looking, keep fighting. That's what I ask of the players, that's what I ask of the coaches, and that's what I'm going to do myself. I'm going to lead by example. Keep playing, keep fighting, keep coaching.
Would you say them at halftime?
Ben, what did you see on the third and 33 play, I guess it was?
We just talked about that. It was a quick screen to the receiver, slot receiver. We got to rally to the ball and get him down. Certainly can't let him run for a touchdown in that situation. It's been a problem. We have to address it. We have to get it fixed.
There were several plays like that seemed to go back to effort, to, you know, guys giving up on a play, guys taking bad angles, you know, kind of the sloppiness that really these guys are not dialed in. Do you see that?
It's pursuit angles. It's getting the guy on the ground. Having an anticipation of what could be coming in that down and distance. We had a chance to get him on the ground there. We got to get him on the ground.
What do you make of all the empty seats and the fans booing?
I'm focused on the game, focused on the players, trying to put them in a position to be successful. I'm not focused on the stands.
Coach, what's your assessment of Eli's deep ball? He didn't connect with King or Sterling on some deep passes.
It's disappointing. We had chances down the field. We got to make those throws and make those catches. It's pro football. We got to cash in on opportunities like that. You don't get many in the game.
See something about the, just see something about his release, his drop. It's just something.
No, just incompletions, and we need to clean them up.
And at what point do you, if the playoffs are out of the question, do you have to start looking ahead, particularly in the Eli situation?
Yeah, you really can't look from my chair too far ahead, but you also have to look at getting some players some reps in the game. So we'll take a look and see if there's any players that we can give reps to that have a chance to be a part of our future.
Does that include the quarterback?
That includes everybody.
Do you have to start dressing three quarterbacks going forward at this point?
Again, we'll take that on a week-to-week basis. We'll take it on a week-to-week basis.
And you said concerned about your own situation? Though?
Not at all.
You said that they didn't quit, but having a bad loss like this with this much to go in the season, are you worried that could happen down the stretch? There's still a lot of football.
No, I think we have eight ball games left. We got to keep fighting. I think it's a great opportunity for some players who didn't think they'd be playing a lot of football at this point to see what they're made of, to see what they're capable of, and see if they can be a part of our future. Learn a lot about people in times like this.
How do you think Sterling Shepard looked in his first game back from injury?
It was good to get him back out there. Made a play down the field, had a couple opportunities down the field. Other than that, I thought he blocked fairly well. It was good to have him back out there.
Any sense as to how the team is feeling, the tone, attitude, just the way
you think? I think guys are disappointed. Obviously we want to have a better showing at home. That part of it's disappointing coming off of a bye.
Ben, do you think they or anyone else affiliated with the Giants is embarrassed?
No, embarrassing isn't a word I'd use. We're disappointed.
Ben, you're 1-7. You just lost by 34 points at home. Why do you say you're not worried about your own situation? What's your mind?
My situation doesn't have anything to do with it. We have to get ready to play a ball game next week. That's counterproductive.
But it does reflect on you, correct?
Everything falls back on my shoulders.
One more.
That's the most points the Giants have given up at home since 1964. I mean, what do you tell your defense or do with your defense to move the ball around?
Again, the defense gave up some plays today. They gave up some points today, but we got to take care of the ball better. We can't give them three balls. We can't have a punt block. Can't let the punt returns come out the gate on us. It's more than just the defense, but the defense deserves their fair share of criticism. Okay. Thank you.
So, obviously, a very frustrated Ben McAdoo after the game. He talked about the turnovers. You can't have them. On the Gallman fumble, right, the Giants are moving the ball. He fumbles at midfield. But because of penalty, now you, as a defense, Antrell, you got him in third and 33. I mean, you can't. It's the first third and 30-plus given up for a touchdown since Phil Simms hit David Meggett with a touchdown pass in 1989. Think about the amount 89. Of third and 30s. That have happened in the NFL that have not gone for touchdowns. As you look at that play, what do you see? As a defense, you're thinking they're going to probably try something safe, right?
Absolutely. I'm licking my chops as a defender. I'm thinking that's an automatic win for the defense. There's no way they're completing anything merely close to 30 yards. But what you saw in that play is you saw a lack of effort. entirely from the entire defense. When you have screen plays are designed to get 6 yards, 7 yards at the max. But when you have a screen play that goes out the gate 50 yards, that is a lack of effort. You see guys that are, they're not trying to shoot the gaps. They're not trying to push defenders into the runner. They're playing patty-pat ball. And I have no idea what that is. You saw no aggression on the defensive side of the ball. So it goes deeper than assignment. It goes deeper than your technique. You have to have a will to make some things happen. And right now we're just not seeing that.
And when you saw Eli Apple on his effort on that play, maybe the angle looked funny because, you know, the camera angles. But it kind of looked like he wasn't going towards the ball carrier. How could you explain something that?
That wasn't the camera angles. That was him.
So how does a corner who's trying to make a play not go towards the ball carrier?
Well, that's exactly what I mean when I say you don't try to pressure the opponent to the run. Do something, you know, create some type of havoc. At that point in time, he's already out the gate. So you have to try to do anything you can to slow down the runner, and you saw no efforts on that side of the ball.
What I didn't see on that play and throughout the day was guys fighting to get off the blocks. They're okay with, hey, you know, I'm getting blocked. Oh, I'm not going to get a minus because I was getting blocked. You have to fight through the blocks. You have to get off that block like your life depends on it.
Absolutely.
And that's what you didn't see. Eli Apple, not just him, the pursuit angles. When on defense, it's I've got to make the play. I've got to be the one to make the tackle. You can't sit there and say, well, he'll get him. Somebody else will get him.
Yeah.
That's what you saw from the defense. Everybody was looking around for somebody else to make the tackle or make the play. It wasn't, I've got to be the guy. This Giants defense, not just tonight, not just today, this year, they have been the less physical unit on the field. Last year, we didn't see that. This defense was physical. They stopped the run. They got after the quarterback. How about this, Bob? Two quarterback hits the whole game, not one sack,
wow.
Just two, and it was Avery Moss who got them. So they weren't getting pressure on the quarterback. They weren't stopping the run, clearly, and the secondary was not attacking.
And if Goff was a little bit more accurate in the first half, they would have had 40 on the board.
Okay,
Think about the times that he scrambled and he missed guys
absolutely.
Wide open.
Yeah, no question.
Well, they seemed extremely sluggish today. They weren't fast. The Giants have a fast unit. You have defensive linemen that are fast. You have secondary linebackers that are fast. We didn't see that today. If you go back and you look at that screenplay for the 3rd and 33, just watch the speed. Look at the efforts. It was not there in its entirety.
All right. Still more to come. We're going to hear from Tavares King. Giants fans, this week's prize is brought to you by Intel. Enter for a chance to win a Dell XPS Full HD Anti-Glare Infinity Edge Touch Notebook Computer with Intel Core 15 inside at Adorama.com/Giants. Adorama, the official retailer of the New York Giants. Tavares King had a touchdown catch in this ball game, signing some autographs. One of the real good guys. He'll join us next here on Giants Post Game Live on the MSG Networks. We welcome you back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the Giants. The Rams beat the Giants 51-17 here at MetLife Stadium. The Giants 0-4. At home this season. First time since 1980 they've started a season 0-4 at home. And the first time since 1980 they've started a season at 1-7. After the game, Tavares King, who did have a touchdown catch in this ball game, spoke with Paul Dottino.
Okay, guys, and Tavares, we know you caught a touchdown pass in Green Bay in the playoffs last year, but this was your first regular season NFL touchdown. It was in the corner of that end zone. I know from a personal perspective that had to be kind of sweet for you.
It was very sweet. You know, to do it at home in front of our fans was awesome. So just happy to do that. And in any way I can help the team, you know, that's my job. So that's what I do.
Eli Manning today eclipsed 50,000 career yards, only the 7th quarterback in NFL history. Now, I know a lot of players don't get caught up in the stats, maybe not even aware of it. But, my goodness, to play with a guy like this, a legend who, in my opinion, is a first-ballot Hall of Famer,
no,
it's got to be special. What's
no
it
questions.
Like?
No questions. He's a first-ballot Hall of Famer. But it's amazing. Just to work with E on a day-to-day basis is, I can't even put it into words. Because, like you said, I'm playing with somebody that I'm working with somebody that's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, hands down. I think everybody in this room knows that. But he's a guy that comes to work every day and puts so much effort in that you want to go to work and you want to be out there with him in that huddle.
All right, we know offensively it was a challenge today, obviously. We know the guys you've lost from that receiver's room due to injury. Mm-hmm. So how difficult is it as you guys in that receiver's room, the guys who are remaining, try to get things going? You got Shepherd back today, but, again, the production wasn't what you wanted it to be.
You know, it wasn't what we wanted it to be, you know, but that's the goal, to keep getting better. And I think we've done that each week, you know, with this new group of guys. And, you know, we pride ourselves on you know, being a tight-knit group and having a lot of camaraderie, and we have that. And, you know, that's important to us.
How much is that camaraderie and the leadership and some of the older guys in that locker room important in times like this when the clouds are really gray?
I mean, it's extremely important, you know, when the clouds are gray, because you got to have positive guys, and that's what we have. You know, we have a locker room full of positive guys. Everybody is a powerful, positive presence in that locker room.
Tavares King, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you so much.
All right, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Tavares King was drafted by the Denver Broncos in 2013. He was a fifth-round draft pick. And in this football game today, King with three catches for 33 yards. He had the one touchdown, could have had a second. Imani, we were talking about Tavares King during the break. Mm-hmm. Real nice guy. Football's important to him. He understands. He knows he's been cut plenty of times. But you saw something that you liked about his game.
Yeah, I like the way he moves. I think he shows a burst off the line of scrimmage. He gets in and out of his breaks really well. Seems really under control when he's, you know, going after the ball. I really liked what I saw today. When the touchdown, for the touchdown, I think that's one of the bright spots. You can look at this game and see Tavares King emerging as a viable receiver for this team in the future.
Yeah, and he got open late in the first half in a ball that, you know, Eli missed him on. So, you know, look, the Giants glad to have Sterling Shepard back. That was helpful, but they got to get a lot more, and they've got to figure out a way to flip the script pretty quickly, because the Giants now find themselves at 1-7 right now as they get ready to go to San Francisco. Guests appearing on Giants Post Game Live: receive a gift certificate to Ben & Jack's Steakhouse, located on 5th Avenue and 28th Street in Manhattan. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood, Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of what a steakhouse should be. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back here to MetLife Stadium, we'll hear from the quarterback, Eli Manning, as we continue with Giants Post Game Live.
Eli, how did you characterize the performance today by the whole team?
Well, obviously not good enough. Offensively, we got to do a better job protecting the football. Can give a good team short field position and make it easy on them and tough on our defense. So, you know, they've been playing well. They've been scoring a lot of points. They got a good defense, and you know, just they you know, hit some big plays, and obviously we had some turnovers in the first half.
As this team's veteran leader, what's your message to the team at this point?
Well, we're just going to keep grinding. We're going to keep fighting. We got 8 games left. We got a lot of football. Can only get better. Can only go up. But that's going to come with work. And just, you know, I thought we, you know, had a good game plan. We just got to execute better. Had some plays we got to make on offense that, you know, had some opportunities for some big plays.
Speaking of the two deep balls to Sterling and to Tavares, what are you seeing in terms of, is it mechanics, just timing, not used to them?
Just Shep. You know, really the one Shep, I got hit that. It's quarters. I got a post route. You know, I haven't thrown many routes to Shep on the outside, so it's been mostly a slot, but, you know, got to hit that one. You know, Tavares is more of a scramble, you know, kind of a, you know, it was late, just trying to, you know, try to put it over the safety. Maybe, you know, shot for him to get it or nobody, and obviously just overshot a little bit.
There was one also, I think TK had a corner route in the end zone. And
right before half, you know, try to take a shot down the field, just to try to put it kind of a line drive throw, put it in there, and just obviously just, you know, we got to keep working on it. You know, sometimes we're getting some of these throws for the first times in games, and so we just got to keep, you know, find a way to hit them in the live situations.
You've seen this building rocking in Super Bowl years. Obviously wasn't that today. How demoralizing is that to you when you see the crowd either not there or just booing this team?
Well, you know, we got a job to do on the field. That's all you can worry about. And obviously we didn't do it very well today, but we're going to keep working, keep grinding, and you know, we want to do it obviously for our fans, but do it for each other. No, we got a lot of football left, and you know, we want to try to get something out of it and keep playing and get that feeling after a game of a win.
How do you feel the guys in front of you did against number 99, Aaron Donald, and how much of the game plan was geared towards maybe going away from him?
Well, we wanted to obviously have try to get as many bodies going towards him as possible and some protection. Sometimes you couldn't do it, but, you know, I think he did have the one sack fumble early in the game. But, you know, I think they did a pretty good job, you know, containing him, ran the ball well. We just got to do a better job converting on some third downs.
So that's Eli Manning, and Eli Manning threw for over 186 yards today. So he becomes the seventh player in the history of the National Football League to eclipse 50,000 yards in passing. He needs for a little over 470 yards to pass John Elway and move into sixth all time. But you guys all played with Eli, and you know that it's never been about the numbers. He doesn't play with a quarterback rating in his head, which is why he's willing to throw incomplete passes rather than take sacks. He's never worried about his numbers. He's worried about winning. But with this group that they have and how limited they are, when you get these opportunities, he's got to elevate his game level, right? Because these are chances to put points on the board that you have to. And I'm sure he'd be the first to admit it when he looks at the film afterwards.
Yeah, and he mentioned it right there. He tried to fit a couple throws into a couple of cover two windows, and he was just off a little bit. I think one of the things that everybody loves about playing with Eli is, especially as a receiver, he's going to give you a chance to make the play. You know what? Even if it's not an advised throw, he's going to give his guys a chance to make a catch. I think the one thing that I've seen from Eli this year is he doesn't feel like he has that extra time. When you hurry a quarterback, when his internal clock is sped up, that ball starts to spray. And that's really what I've seen from him. It's been all year. And today, look, you're playing against Aaron Donald. You've got Robert Quinn coming off the edge. So he's got to step up in the pocket. And you've got to trust that's there. I think some of those throws were missed because he was hurrying.
Toom, I don't think there's anybody that caught more deep posts from Eli Manning than you did.
Yeah, and one thing that I saw from that press conference was he said the first time they're making some of these throws is in game time situations. Knowing how meticulous he is, I mean, we used to practice before the games and practice during practice when the defense was going on. That just seems strange to me. Are they not practicing what they do during the game in practice to make sure that they iron out all these kinks for Eli, as prepared as he is, to be making throws in the first time to different receivers in these different places deep down the field? To me, that sounds kind of crazy.
Surprised you, Antrell, to hear that, because you practiced against him for a long time.
I have to agree with Money on that. You know, Eli, he's a guy who's in the film room all the time. He's always working with receivers, trying to make sure that their timing is exact. So to hear that also, you know, it definitely opened my eyes a bit. And to him throwing in the quarters, opposed to Sterling Shepard for the first time in the game time situation. So
knowing they play a team that plays quarters.
That plays quarters.
So
exactly.
Cue the Allen Iverson practice. Talk about practice.
We're talking about practice.
And
we
actually, need a little
Ben
more of
that. Said that they had a great week of practice.
Oh, I hate that.
Well, we've heard that a lot.
Don't tell about how good week. They practice. Hey, I don't want to hear it. I want to see it.
They've been balling.
Well, 1 week it's translated to wins, and that was in Denver. Other than that, it's rough sledding, man. You watch this and you say to yourself, how are they going to get it fixed? Now, fortunately for them, they got the Niners coming up next when they don't have a win yet this year. So we'll see how that goes next week in San Francisco. When we come back here on the program, though, we're going to tell you about the toughest player of the game from the Giants. You don't want to miss that as we continue with Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Giants, here on the MSG Networks. As we welcome you back to Giants Post Game Live, it's time to announce today's toughest player of the game, driven by the Hess Toy Truck. And our winner is the toughest player, Evan Engram, the rookie, 4 catches for 70 yards. He had a touchdown in the game, a long of 26. And, you know, when the game was a lopsided score, he kept fighting. After the game, he spoke to the media in the locker room.
Is the word embarrassing when you think about what happened out there today?
As a competitor, the amount of work we put in, yeah.
It was pretty embarrassing. Just so the team that we know we are and know we can be, that wasn't us today.
Evan, I'm sorry to address that, but I mean, coming up with bye, does this make this any more troublesome? Having 2 weeks to prepare for this.
I mean, it is what it is. They play better than we did. It's a loss. A loss after a bye. No bye, but the loss.
Did you feel like there was effort out there today, or did you feel like guys had kind of given up?
Definitely effort. No question about it. We just didn't execute the way we should have.
How hard is this as, you know, this is your first NFL experience, and obviously it hasn't gone well. How hard is this personally?
It's tough. Definitely learned early how tough it is to win in this league. It is what it is. We come in every day to work. It's the first year, 10th year. It's tough to lose, so it's definitely tough.
How does the team rebound, Evan, and come back from the loss like
that? We got to stick together. Got to put the work in. We're going to get back on Tuesday and look ourselves in the mirror and just keep working, keep fighting, and staying together.
Early on, the team did move the ball up and down the field a little bit. Did you feel a positive impact from having Sterling Shepard back in the lineup?
Definitely a burst of energy for us. Another playmaker on the field that we missed. So definitely it was good having him back.
Coach keeps talking about how you guys are practicing well, but it's not translating to game day. Do you see that as well?
We have great weeks of practice. We all have great energy all week. But I mean, it's, we're right. We got translated on Sunday, and it's got to show up on the field.
Thank you. So that's Evan Engram after the game, and obviously, here's a kid that just played his 8th regular season game, 4 preseason games, 12. That's a college season. He's still got 8 more to go here in 2017. But I like the fight. I like the touchdown catch. He showed his versatility to go win that jump ball, get his feet in, slam the safety along the sideline. So fighting, that's why he was our tough player of the game, brought to you by the Hess Toy Truck. We're going to take a timeout here on the program. When we come back, we'll hear from one of the Giants' leaders, Landon Collins, as we continue with Giants Post Game Live here on the MSG Networks. Part of the pageantry at MetLife Stadium today, salute to service, Navy Band performing at MetLife Stadium as we welcome you back to Giants Post Game Live here on the MSG Networks, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the Giants. So what's going on with this defense? They give up 51 points. It's the most points that they've given up at home since I think 1964. And just not a good situation as they lose 51-17. So after the game, the media went to one of the leaders, Landon Collins.
Why was it such a struggle pass defense-wise? I think they had 5 plays or 35 yards or more.
Just eyes. Eyes was the biggest key for us, and that's how they kind of got those big plays on us.
What do you think went wrong on the wide receiver screen that went for the 52?
Everybody just over pursued. We thought he was going to push it, keep it strong. He cut it back. We had nobody back playing back door on that screen.
And how about on the Watkins long touchdown? The Watkins 67?
Eyes was bad.
How tough, defense has a lot of pride. How tough is it to take giving up 51 today?
It's hurtful, definitely hurtful. Last time we gave up 50 was 2 years ago, and we didn't like it then, and we definitely still don't like it now.
Landon, you'd obviously never expect a result like this, but having an extra week to prepare, I guess, just how shocking is this?
Yeah, having an extra week to prepare and then coming out and putting this on the field, putting this on film and putting this in your back pocket, man, is heartbreaking. And man, we have to really get in the film room, get in the locker room, and kind of just figure this stuff out. Something is up, man. We got to figure that out.
Do you think it's more about the execution, or is there any effort lacking, do you think, anywhere?
Say that one more time.
Is it a matter of just execution, or do you think it's deeper than that?
I don't know. That's a good question. I have to look at the film on that point of view because, I mean, we have the guys. We execute. One or two key components that's missing, I feel like.
So there you have it. Last year was a wonderful year for Landon Collins, made the Pro Bowl. Antrell, you don't like what you're seeing. Just talk a little bit about his game and kind of what he talked about right there. He said his eyes on the Watkins. You don't totally agree with that.
The reason why I don't agree is because when you see a safety down 6-7 yards in a box and then they turn around in an all-go sprint, you know something's wrong. The safeties were taught to play deeper to short, never let anything get behind you. And he was running for dear life trying to catch up to Sammy Watkins. So, obviously, it wasn't his eyes. It's not that he had bad eyes. It's not like he got bit up on the play action. He was trying to disguise, and he got caught in his disguise, which is something that we all have to learn the hard way at some point in time in our game. And, you know, not to hop on him, but the entire defense in its entirety, they look sluggish. Like I said earlier, they look slow. They don't seem to be playing together, and it seems like certain guys are trying to do too much to make that play, and they find themselves out of the play. So I think they just need to go back to the drawing boards, stay collectively as a group, and make sure that it's one band, one sound. It's 11 guys all together, or it's nothing at all.
You know, they finished last year really strong, and a lot of it was celebrated. But if you dial into the games last year, yeah, they shut down the Cowboys' run game for the most part. Twice. Not once, but twice. But they beat a lot of mediocre quarterbacks. Mm. Was this defense and what they thought they were, you know, we're going to be a top defense this year, was it built a little bit on a mirage in the fact that, you know, they were beating the Case Keenums and the Clevelands, but against the Rodgers and guys like that, they got carved up?
I didn't really pay attention to who they was playing. I paid more attention to how they were playing as far as their scheme, their technique, the things that they were doing to disrupt the quarterback, the things they were doing to confuse the quarterbacks. And now they did a great job of confusing Dak Prescott in both times they faced him last year. You know, those were his two most unsuccessful games of the season. And right now it just seems like they're just not in sync for whatever case. I don't know if they're trying to do too much. I don't know if the coach is putting too much on their plate. But they're not playing fast, and they're not playing smart ball. And there's too many deep balls and too many big plays given up each and every single game.
To piggyback on that smart football aspect, when you look at this team, hey, look, the offense messes up. They have a turnover. When the defense goes out there, they have a chance to say, hey, guys, look, all right, I know we're on a short field or it's a sudden change. We've got to make a statement right now to get off the field. The Giants had 3 turnovers. They gave up 17 points right out of the gate. The first 2 turnovers, boom, touchdown, boom, touchdown. And that's where this team really, they don't. It's almost like they don't know how to respond when adversity does hit them. And that's on both sides of the ball. Because when you look at this game, coming into it, I said, all right, they need to do 2 things offensively. Don't let Aaron Donald wreck the game. And you've got to start fast. And, mm-hmm. and they did that. The fumble on the first possession, but they scored on the second series, a touchdown. I mean, 10 points in the first half is a win in my book with this offense, the way they've done. But then defensively, they don't seem to play off of that very well. And this team doesn't have that confidence. Going into halftime, you think the defense is looking over this offense saying, hey, they're going to rally back. They haven't scored more than 24 points all season long.
Yeah.
So that confidence is really where they've got to find a way to get it. And it's only coming from the players.
And to piggyback on your point, the confidence and lack of confidence, you asked Landon right there, what's the problem? He has no answers. He said, oh, something is up, something nebulous out there, why they're not playing good football. That's a problem. You have to at least know kind of where you need to go. They need guidance by somebody to say, hey, look, we need to do this and this better, and then work on that, and then next week something else. That's what they need to do.
Especially against the Rams,
yeah,
who's a big play offense.
All right, we got to take a timeout. We're running late. We got to get to the break, but remember, they blew the defense, handed away 3 fourth-quarter leads in consecutive games against Philadelphia, Tampa, and San Diego. So they have been part of this whole brew that leads to 1-7. We got to take a timeout. Much more to come here on Giants Post Game Live here on the MSG Networks. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on the MSG Networks. We'll show it again for you tonight at 11:30. If you can't sleep, and after watching this, you might not be able to, 3 a.m. and then 3 airings again on Monday. Giants Post Game Live here on the MSG Networks, presented by Mercedes-Benz. All right, Giants head out to San Francisco to take on the Niners next Sunday. As a leader, what would you say to your teammates?
I just want to see somebody compete. You know, you mentioned Evan Ingram, how tough he was. I think for the veteran players on this team, forget about The game plan, forget about all that stuff. It's about competing and being physical.
Antrell?
At this point, I'm saying, I'm with Sean. I don't care about the coaches. I don't care about anyone outside of what we have going on in this locker room. It's about 53 men coming together and develop a bond and understand that I don't care what we've done at the beginning of the season. Right now, it's to fight and win each and every single game, one game at a time.
Tombs, on offense.
I'm going to say, look, I'm going to look at everybody before the game. I'm going to look at everybody after the game. I want everybody to be able to look into my eyes and give the effort that I'm going to put forth. And I want everybody to look at me and say, look, you know, we're not going to lose because of effort. We're going to put it all out there. We're a better team than the 49ers. We should win this game. And I think that this is an opportunity for them to turn things around. It only takes one game to start a real run. It happened before. It can happen again.
Yeah, I mean, you thought that maybe the game against the Broncos would do it, but it certainly hasn't been a springboard, and the Giants have to get things collected and back together in a hurry. We are out of time for Imani Toomer, Antrell Roll, and, of course, Sean O'Hara. I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Giants Post Game Live here on the MSG Networks. Good night, everybody.